Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/verbalshenanigans. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
God, you are beyond creepy.
Hey.
Hi, it's Scott Brennigan. Welcome to Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. I just tried to turn on Periscope, trying to test this out a little bit. Michael Berlow is trying to creep into the picture really creepily. It's like 95 degrees upstairs in the office. It's probably 85 degrees, humid, and you are inching closer and closer to me, and it's a little weird. Would you like me to point the camera towards you? Does that make you feel better?
No.
I don't even like to look at myself. I might give everyone the view of the woods. It's like a screensaver. But anyway, we are back. And it feels good to be back. It was kind of a hectic week, and then we took a week off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, kind of like a week off, I guess, technically. But if you listen to our last two episodes, they were both on location. And the first one, well, two episodes ago, was you taking on hot dog challenges, me leisurely eating a hot dog when I wanted one.
Yeah. That seemed a little unfair there.
No, not unfair at all.
No?
Not unfair at all. Who's gonna announce? We could have both do it at the same time.
No?
No.
Oh. Good point.
How'd that go for you? How'd you feel the day after?
I felt fine.
Felt
after.
Good. Well, certain a couple of us didn't feel great the day after. I can tell you that. So we go to the hot dog challenge thingy-mo-bobber, and we do it and all. And Randy comes back to our house, my house, our house. No, we don't live together as much
house
as.
It's a very, very, very fine house. Scott, we got to turn the camera around so we can sing together.
I'm turning Periscope off in a minute.
Aww.
But so later that night, we finish up. Randy comes back for a while and rests, and we weren't sure if he was going to stay by or do whatever. But the owner of Sabretti's invites us out to what was that? Chili's?
Applebee's.
Applebee's. Yeah, one of those places. Mm-hmm. Chili's, Applebee's.
I'll tweet both.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. And we go out, and we go out to watch the fight, the Irish dude versus the Spanish dude.
Yeah, McGregor versus, I don't remember the last guy.
Some Spanish guy.
Menendez, that's it.
Yeah. George Menendez, the guy who killed his mother. Isn't that
that was his punishment.
Yes, he had to fight an Irish guy, and it was a good fight. You know, I watch fights here and there, and I watch them in, like, social situations like that. I'll get into them. And I couldn't decide who to root for because the Irish guy is a bit of an asshole. But he got out and knocked the shit out of Menendez there.
Well, I think he kind of did the old Muhammad Ali tactic of really just pissing the guy off.
Shaking on control?
No, that's later. I'm talking about
that's his strategy now.
He just pisses the guy off way before the match, lets the match start, let the guy just beat the living crap out of him and just take it and wait till he tires out and then does his stuff.
Is that with your analysis?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know why HBO doesn't pick me up for their boxing
anymore. Yes. All right. You gotta move over. This is getting weird. This is getting weird. I like you when you're over there and I'm over here. It ruins the flow. I like to have some space in case they throw an elbow.
We're getting no hearts on Periscope.
Yeah,
if we were together.
I wonder why. Let's see if we turn around. Here, Berlow. Here's all the camera time you want. I don't even like being on camera.
Okay.
Well, see, there you go.
How's it going?
Oh my god, it looks like a sponsorship for
this is fun
for addicts that were released from prison or something like that.
What?
That's what it looks like.
Oh,
look at that image.
I'm enjoying myself. I'm gonna try to get some hearts up.
But anyway, so we go out and he says, you know, order anything you want. You know, it's on us. And we're like, you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we kind of went for alcohol most of the night, I noticed.
Yeah. There was a couple apps. I had a shrimp here and there, but I had nowhere to be and booze seemed like the option. So we had a couple beers prior to going out, and then we go out, the three of us. We go down there. Everyone's there. There's probably be like eight people all together, something like that.
I'd say about that.
And the booze starts going down harder and harder and harder. And we were well behaved. We just start talking, but we stayed till last call. Now, I can't even remember the last time I was like at a last call at a bar, like 2 o'clock, still ordering beers. And Randy, who again has 26 hot dogs in his gullet, in his stomach, he's pounding beers like, like no problem. So
he needs one for each dog to like really balance out the tummy.
Yeah. So Berlo leaves, and me and Randy go home, and I offer Randy my bed. Not my bed, the guest bed.
Tell me the real story.
Me and Randy did not sleep with each other.
Did he sneak up to you?
So I get up.
Hey, Scott, this is Atlas.
I know he has to catch a train early in the morning, so I go out and get some coffee, and I come back, and I open the door, and Randy is face down in my living room by the door, just laying there.
Crime scene chalk outline kind of.
Yeah, pretty much
out. Exactly
that. So it's quite a scene. I'm like, Randy's like, ugh. I was just cooling off.
Well, first you said you, when you came down in the morning, he was on the couch, and he's like, I don't know how I got on here.
Yeah. He was on the couch. That's right. He was on the couch, and I'm like, dude, what'd you come down here? Was it cooler or something? He's like, I don't even know how I got down here, to be honest. And so that was a good night. That was a good night for sure. So if you listen to that podcast, you hear Berlo's first attempt at a food challenge. You gonna take a crack at another one?
I think I will sometime.
Yeah?
Maybe.
What are you eyeing up?
Maybe a heat one first. One of those like hot wing challenges.
You want me to shoot fire in your mouth to train?
Ooh.
I have gasoline in the backyard. That'll burn the shit out of your mouth. You'll be able to eat anything after that if you survive.
This is so simple. Why did I think of it?
Ghost pepper, what? So, yeah, I think you should do another challenge. It'd be very interesting.
Well,
give us some topics to talk about.
I actually went down to HopatCon, Hoboken for his final
big
challenge.
Big difference there. HopatCon, Hoboken. A little different clientele.
Yeah, but I went there for his when he did the 5-pound burrito. He kept on asking me, you going to do this? You going to do this? I'm like, no, I had cereal before.
Did he? I guess he beat that one, too.
Yeah.
No problem?
Oh, yeah, he crushed it. I think he 5-pound burrito, I think he did in 10 minutes.
That's it?
10:47, something like that.
Child's play.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I think you should take out a food challenge. I think you should maybe do a hot wing one. Maybe you could warm up. I know Buffalo Wild Wings, you can eat. Go for the hot wings. I think you get them for free or something like that if you eat them all or something.
I remember, what was it, Quaker Steak and Lube. You ever go to one of those?
Yeah. That place, they're starting to pop up more around here.
Yeah, there's one.
Like in Jersey. Yeah, right by my mom's house. And that's the weirdest name for a restaurant ever. It's like it sounds like half car shop, like half restaurant.
Yeah,
like,
and they have the same kind of car, you know, kind of memorabilia
theme.
And theme there. And you kind of even like when you drive up to it, it's like, do I order food or get an oil change in here?
Not a bad idea, because while I'm getting an oil change, I wouldn't mind like a...
That would be kind of nice, because it usually takes like a half an hour.
Exactly. Get something like good, get a beer.
Yeah, most of the time I'm like walking around some strip mall, like I got nothing to do.
Right.
It'd be great to be
That's not a bad
there.
Idea. Maybe we should do that.
All right.
A little restaurant / oil change spot.
Yeah.
You know, food guaranteed.
Sir, you're going to need
in and out by the time you get your oil done.
You're going to need a new transmission. I suggest you get the appetizer Royale.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yes, that's not a bad idea. But yeah, you went to Quaker Steak
and
Lube.
And I remember I was up by like Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and we were, a bunch of us drank all night, and we were hammered, and buddy said, I'm going to go for the hot sauce. And they come out, and they're like, well, you got to sign out a form for this, you know, for the lawyer thing. And he signs, and I'm like, yeah, I want to do it too. Give me a form, too. And the girl's like, just sign your name on the bottom right here, this. And I'm looking at her like, I don't think that's really going to work in a court of law.
I know I've seen, like, some things on, like, Food Network and stuff like that where they come out and they put, like, the gas mask on.
Mm-hmm.
But so did he try it?
I tried it. I mean, I was so drunk, I don't think I even remember it. I was dipping into it. I didn't have, like, my wings saturated in it, but I was dipping in it. It tasted good. And I also did it at Miami Mike's down in East Hanover, and that was manageable.
Maybe this is your calling. Maybe maybe comedy's, you know, takes a backseat to competitive eating.
But I'm so funny. Don't you understand that? I'm so funny.
Yes. But yeah, I would be down to come watch you take on another challenge.
All right. We can schedule it.
You know, we could always... I could broadcast just with this little recorder while you're doing it. No one even has to know.
Yeah.
I'll just make asshole comments about you the whole time.
So basically, it's any other time we hang out.
Yes. Yeah. So we could go do one right after this.
All right.
Did you eat?
Yeah, unfortunately, I did.
But yeah, so that was a good night. All right. Get away, Jimmy.
I think he kind of did.
Yeah. He did that on his own, yeah. I think. So then Tuesday comes along. Well, that was Tuesday, right? Or Wednesday?
That was Tuesday.
Tuesday comes along. And we were invited out to a NASCAR event. I guess you could call it a NASCAR event.
It was a media day for a NASCAR.
Right. I guess so. Between like three things, it was Pocono Raceway, Trevor Bayne, who I learned all about, and you know,
nice all guy. Sorts of,
yes, and the Kalahari Resort. Now, we mentioned this on the last podcast. We go there, no clue what we're getting into. We just approach this gigantic, like typical Pocono, huge, strange resort that resembles Africa, and turns out to be an awesome day. I mean, I felt like a, you know, like the first hour, I thought we would just be like kind of following him around, but it's just cool in itself. But like we got there, we're in this like huge office room with like this big wooden table, and they're giving us coffee and things like that. I'm like, okay, you know, they hand us an envelope that says Verbal Shenanigans on it with a bunch of passes and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. Don't know what we're doing yet, but this is cool. And so we go spend the whole day following him around, and we eventually go on water slides with the guy and do a zombie simulator, and really cool day. So hopefully, if you listen to the last one, that will help us get us some possible work with some
either
of those
Pocono
places.
Pocono Raceway or Kalahari Resorts.
Or
maybe Trevor Bayne will hire us for his pit crew.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'd be perfect for the pit crew.
Well, what position on the pit crew would you want?
I would be the tire guy number one.
Tire guy. Oh, is that front or rear?
No, that's all of them. Because I'm not number one. I'm the number one tire guy.
They generally have two guys.
No.
Actually, four guys.
No, I would put one tire on the car as it leaves.
That's not really going to help Trevor in his endeavors.
No, it is, because that means only one tire will be good for the race. So he'll use less tires, which will save him money, which will be mean he could buy more gas.
He doesn't buy gas.
Oh, he does. He does. It's $2.39 a gallon right now. They got to stop. They got to use their debit card fill up.
I don't think that's how it works, Scott.
That'd be interesting. Real NASCAR. We got to deal with like an attendant. Come on, man. Let's go. Hold on 1 second. There's this gas attendant down over. I don't know if you ever went. It's if you leave my house, you go all the way out to the light and you make a left. Okay. And it's the gas station. I think it's a Shell, possibly. There is this fat Indian guy. He has to have something wrong with him. Because every time I pull up, he like comes waddling over after like 5 minutes. And I only go there if I like have to. Like, it's the only gas station open because it's open late. Mm-hmm. And he waddles over, and he's always like, "Oh, nice truck, man. Nice truck." I'm like, "Yeah, thank you. Please start pumping the gas, please. 20 regular." And and then he'll be like, "Oh, big day today." I'm like, "Yep, big day there. Mm-hmm. Big day." And he's like, "Oh, what you doing today?" Like, he'll like make these ridiculous conversations with
me.
"I
like your truck. I want to get in and hang out with you."
Mm-hmm. And then, like,
"Screw this gas."
Almost every time I've gotten gas from him, I end up getting out, putting the gas back, and capping my own gas, because it's like, I got to go. Like, usually it's like, they're open earlier than the gas stations when I'm on the way to work. So I stop there sometimes. And then sometimes late at night, I'm like, "Come on, I want to go home." Like, and he's just waddling around. He's totally like a socks and sandal guy. He's probably like 400 pounds. And you should go there just for the experience. I'll tell you when he's working.
All right.
Whatever his name is, probably like Rajiv or something like that. But I've seen other people like, you know, you see the reaction. Like, you know, like when you, there's like bad service and like you start making eye contact with other people and they're like, oh. Like many times I've like looked in the other cars and they're like waving their hands like, come on, man. Like, hurry
up. You're bonding
up.
As a group.
Yes.
What the hell's wrong with this, man?
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget when I worked at Six Flags in the parking lot. Part of the job was also to work at the gas station that's over in Six Flags.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the New Jersey state law. By
there we go. See, there's a view where we're both on.
Hi, everybody.
Ugh, don't do that. Go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
But anyway.
It reminds me, you got to get Brian Anderson back on the cast. One
yeah, man.
Missed that guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But so they put me there, and they put me there when the park is closing, and not everybody knows there's like hundreds of gas stations outside Six Flags. So there's like 55 cars there, and they were still trying to find like a second person to help me out. And they kept telling me, it's like, you know, this is New Jersey. There's very strict laws. Nobody can pump their own gas. So I'm running around like crazy. And there's times where, like, across the way, there'd be somebody from out of state. And I just, hey, don't touch your gas. It's against the law.
Now that our microphones are down. Now, if you'd like to donate to Verbal Shenanigans for some new equipment. Wow. That was intensely loud.
Is that all right for you, Mrs. White? Inside joke, people.
Yes, go see Burlew's comedy. You'll find that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like, I don't. How did I get on the gas station guy?
We were talking about
NASCAR.
NASCAR. Yeah.
So like, we got to go on water slides. Now, I love water slides, but I don't. I haven't been on a water slide in,
I think,
6-7 years at least.
I'm way more than that. I think probably since I've been almost a teen. No, I'm way. Might have done it in Bulgaria, if that counts. Ooh, that looks... You should have done that on Paris.
Bulgarian water slide. What's that like? Do they beat you on the way down?
Yeah. You have to pay for your own water to go down.
It either sounds awesome or it's like slang for like a sexual maneuver. I gave her the old Bulgarian water slide, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I haven't... you know, we only rode two. I think you may have rode three. And because all of a sudden they're like, oh, Trevor's leaving in like 30 minutes by helicopter. And was like, shit! Like this all-out dash to get our equipment and all that. But
I think it was at least a mile run to get the equipment.
By the size of that place, it probably was. But that turned out to be a pretty awesome day for us.
It's a hell of an experience.
Especially for you. And, mm-hmm. You know, I hope to get down to Pocono and see what... you know, hopefully work with them or even just go once. Like I said, I'm open to anything once. Well, not almost everything once.
Hi.
Hey, Brian. You're on the line again.
No, according to the court law, you said it.
Yeah, so it was a busy week. So we did that, which was great. Randy thing, which was great. And then Thursday, I went to the Foo Fighters concert in Citi Field, which was... pretty awesome. The concert was fantastic. I missed the opening band, which I wanted to see. I wanted to see Royal Blood. They're pretty cool. They're like a two-piece band, and they rock pretty hard. But so we get there, and...
were you just running late, or was traffic horrible?
It's just... I drove to Secaucus and parked there and took the train in instead of driving straight there and paying... I'm convinced there's no... good way into the city. Like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You know, you could drive more and then park and go. You can drive all the way and then you're paying massive parking and tolls and bridges. You could take the train, but then my problem with taking the train from like where we are, it's like an hour and a half train ride and mm-hmm. it's so slow. So, you know, you're all pumped up at the end of the concert, but then you got to take a train back to Penn Station. You got to make sure you get one that's on time. You know, you're not home forever, you know? But you know, so it took a while. It wasn't late. We weren't late. We were about a half hour early. The Foo Fighters took a while to set up, and they come out, and Dave Grohl's on his throne, and the throne moves around the stage, which was pretty cool. Like, it moves up the stage, down the stage.
Does the throne, like, come up from the stage?
No.
Or does he, like, roll his way onto the throne?
He was on the throne when they came out, so... And it was cool, because, like, he addressed the throne and showed, like... how it happened, and they showed the video of him breaking his leg, and then he showed his original sketch on this piece of paper, like what he wanted, and he handed it to the light guy, like, please, you know, like, and it was really cool. You know, like, I think they saved their tour by doing that, because that was a big, big tour for them. It was like, might have been Fenway Park. They did their 20th anniversary show, which is huge. City Field, which has got to be, I don't know, with the people on the floor, 60,000 people at least.
I think it kicked off when he was Letterman's goodbye show, even before the
right. So that's a big, big tour for them, and so I think that really did save the tour. Otherwise, he's sitting on a normal folding chair or something like that. It's not the same. The throne is awesome.
Wouldn't that be great if he had this like great sketch, and then the guy comes out and he just throws like some like $1.99 lawn chair in front of him. Here you go.
Here with like one of those clip-on lights.
A sprayed FF on it.
So the show was awesome. They're a really good live band. They've definitely got like the theatrics down nowadays. Like they went through a number of covers. They did Under Pressure, which I thought was awesome, because that's one of my like favorite Queen songs. They did Detroit Rock City. They did Breakdown by Tom Petty.
Nice.
It was a good time. Great time. Bad Brains came out and played a song with them, which is awesome if you like punk rock. They're kind of like some of the originators, and they're black, which was crazy. So two of his, and he's like, you know, he was like all about it. He's like, oh, I just play with my idols and stuff like that, which he pretty much does every night. Every night he's got someone. Yeah. Apparently the night before, Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers came out and played. And
I think a couple nights before, just for the fun of it, he found out like a kid who played drums. Yeah. So it was his birthday, so he just like, yeah, get up there, do a song.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know? All right, whatever, we'll do the easiest song. You better not screw it up.
Yeah, and so it was a really cool concert, but it, you know, like,
did he do the cover of my Obi song?
No.
I tweeted him.
But so it maybe it's just me getting older, but it's like, to go get two beers is $20-something. You know, it's like, you know, you want to have a couple beers while you're there, have a good time. Nothing crazy. You're not chugging 10, 15 beers. But, you know, it all adds up. And then the end of the night comes, and I had taken the LIRR from Penn Station, which, if you guys go out to City Field, it's a little bit more money, but it's two stops from Penn Station rather than walking up to all the way up to 42nd Street or taking the subway to another subway, the 7 train. So I prefer it. It's a couple extra bucks, but you can have a beer on it, and there's seats. Right. So that's nice. And there's actually a bar right in the terminal. It probably had like 30 beers on tap that you could just take with you. It was pretty cool.
Sweet.
But anyway, so we're waiting on, and you know, there's 60,000 people trying to get out of there. So
was that the one comes. That derailed in New Jersey?
I don't know.
The drunk one?
I hope.
Woo!
But it's just like, it took so long to get on the train. Then you're on the train, and the ride back takes time, and the drive back takes forever. And then you got to pay the toll of the parking. And then, like, before you know it, I didn't get in until about 2:30. You know, it's like, and I had to work the next day at 7 o'clock. You know, out in the blazing sun. But
nice.
Overall, awesome concert. Getting out. That's why I haven't been going to Met games a lot over the last few years. They suck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't want to spend $150 going out to Queens.
There's no cheap way to get to New York. It's really weird. You figure somebody would have figured out. I mean, the cheapest thing, I think, is the path. But
and
you even got to drive up.
You know, you're damned, like, even if you go to a Giants game, it's like $35 for parking. It's like, come on, we're living here. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
well, the best
know.
Was when I went to a Redskins game once. And I parked. I parked at where the Wizards and Capitals play. They said it's $50. And it was the first time I was down at the new, well, it was new at the time, the Redskins Park, now FedEx Field. So I'm like, all right, I guess I walk or something. They're like, no, the field's like 10 miles down the road. You got to get on a bus. So I'm looking, you get on this cramped bus to get driven down to the field. And the worst thing of all is that game. We lost to the Giants 9-7 that day.
It was, Epic game.
Oh, that's what... Yeah, the Giants were kicking our ass the entire game, but they couldn't score a touchdown, so they kept kicking field goals. And I remember they benched our quarterback for Jeff George. Remember Jeff George?
Oh, how could I forget?
The greatest Colts quarterback of all time. But anyway, so he threw a touchdown, and it was 9-7. We're getting excited. And we get the ball back. We're driving down the field. Somebody caught an amazing catch. We're all excited. They run up to the play because it's under 2 minutes. They spike the ball. We're all excited. We're like on the 18-yard line. And then all of a sudden, there's like this huge light. Everybody's looking around. What's going on? They're like, oh, they're replaying the play before.
What? Yeah.
How can you replay the play before? They spiked the ball. It's our ball right there. It doesn't matter. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, no. The ref blew his whistle as he was snapping the ball. And it was like all this weird stuff. So he turned around and said it wasn't a catch. And basically, it was like fourth down, like 12 seconds ago. And it was a 42-yard field goal. So we had two kickers at the time. We hired Eddie Murray as our backup kicker.
Eddie Murphy, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And he was telling jokes. He was in the Gumby outfit. It was insane. But
I got your ice cream, and you ain't got none.
But I just remembered like 2 weeks before when they signed Eddie Murray, they said, we signed him because Eddie Murray cannot miss within 40 yards. He's our within 40 yards kicker. Okay, this is a 42-yard attempt here. Why is Eddie Murray out here? Kick goes up in the air. Oh, it's going straight down the middle. Doink. Right off the front of the crossbar. Kicks off. Lose the game 9-7. That was the last time North Turner was our coach. They fired him the next day. But the worst thing of all is you're just cramped in a bus. You're miserable as is, and we're just all looking at each other like, "What the fuck was that?"
I got two similar things to that. One, Giants Redskins at MetLife. My buddy gets tickets off StubHub. We go down. He's a Redskin fan. I'm a Giants fan. We're like, "This is cool." You know, we got them reasonably priced.
Old or new Giants stadium?
The new one.
Okay.
Which, not a fan, but we don't need to get into that. But so we go, and they're like, pick him up at the StubHub booth. Like, and we're cool. Turns out, it's about 20 minutes before the game. There's no StubHub booth in the stadium. It's in Secaucus. They're like, oh, you have to go to Secaucus and get him and then come back. Now, we had parked already.
Yeah.
So we ended up having to buy two more tickets, like, from scalpers because we were already there. Like, so we took out another, like, $100 or whatever. And that was like a game where the Giants like housed the Redskins like 45. My buddy was so miserable because we basically just bought four tickets. He got to see a massive loss, and so that was shitty. And the second one, I had a second point. Let me think. Thinking music. And I think the other one was the funny one. Oh, well. But it'll come back.
We don't need that.
It was definitely a live event. And I went to something, and it didn't go well. What was the example?
That narrowed down the options. You went to something.
I went to something.
Was it a big thing?
I don't know. This is where my brain...
Could you fit the event in a bread box?
This is where my brain's at these days. It's just mashed potatoes in there. Shot.
Is it Monster Energy drink?
No. But I don't know. Maybe it'll come back to me. But something happened where I didn't get into something. I don't remember. I had two.
Let me.
What were you talking about? You were talking about kicker. You were talking about the Redskins. I told him the Giants Redskin one. And the
second
one.
Well, if you want to think about it, I got another story.
Yeah, go ahead.
I went to an Eagles Redskins game. This is the
remember.
Old, well, now it's too late. I'm mid into story.
I got to keep it in. Got to keep it in my brain.
So it was in the old Vet Stadium. And I just went there. I figured I'd scalp some tickets, and sure enough, guy came up. Hey, what are you looking for? What's your price range? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm looking to spend 40. He's like, yeah, no problem. Give him 40 bucks, get the ticket, go right in. I sit in my seat. And a guy walks up to me, and he's like, I think you're in my seat. And I'm looking, I'm like, no, this is correct. I'm looking at the seat, looking at the row. We look at each other, we have the exact same ticket. So it's a little awkward thing. We're like, all right, there's a spare seat here. We'll just sit here. If somebody comes, you know, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the people who regularly had the seats came over, and they took the seats. And then as we're looking at each other, a third guy comes up. And he's like, oh, you guys are in my seats. And we look, and we all three have the exact same tickets. And it's like 20 minutes before kickoff. And the one guy, and I don't know why he said it, he's like, you know, I'm like, oh, I guess they gave us some false tickets or whatever. He's like, well, you know, I'm going to go down and talk to one of the ticket guys and see what he has to say. And he starts walking away. And I look at the guy, and the other guy looks at me. It's like, they see, we got fake tickets. They're kicking our asses off. So I just spent the day just walking around the stadium.
So
this was before the scanning of the tickets,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. So I go to the last game at Shea Stadium.
Mm.
Now, if you remember that year, the Mets needed to win the last game, and I think like someone else needed to lose to get into the playoffs.
That would be the Phillies.
Probably. So the last game at Shea, big celebration planned, you know, big mm-hmm. celebration. Now, logically, you would think that the Mets would plan the celebration prior to the game that they have to win, because if the Mets lose, the celebration is going to take a big hit of morale and feeling. So
how'd that turn out for you?
Sure enough, the Mets lose the game, and so now we're all there. Miserable. We just missed the playoffs by a game 2 years in a row. The year before was the up 7.5 games with 19 to play or something like that.
Yep.
Blew it all. And so the Mets, they have this celebration, and it's a great celebration, but everybody's like really sarcastic. There's fireworks going off. Like Tom Seaver's there and Mike Piazza there, which would have been a great moment to get the crowd like super pumped up. And then Oliver Perez goes on the mound and blows the game, you know, beforehand. And it's like, the Mets just don't do anything right. They do nothing right.
Nope.
It's like, they are just, it's anything with an ETS, man. Anything with an ETS, they're damned. The Nets, the Jets, and the Mets all just suck. They have two good years every once in a while, and then it's like a decade of misery, usually. I mean, look at the Nets. It's like two great years where that team is great.
Yeah.
And then nothing really. I mean, I know Brooklyn's tried, you know, but
well, I mean, they need to get out of here. Like you said, the 2 years they went to the finals, they were still trying selling tickets the day of.
I know.
Hey, no somebody one's get there. In here.
No one's there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's so that was my week. So it was a hectic week. I know. We just spent a half hour talking about our week.
Mm.
But it was a hectic week, so we took a week off from Tuesday to today is now Tuesday. And it feels good to be back, just no guest. Well, we thought we had a guest, but we'll put them off, put her off. Mm. Yes, another female possibly on the show.
Yeah, well.
And not an athlete or artist, like a good-looking lady.
Mm.
Which, putting our numbers up there. So. But our numbers, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about our numbers real quick. We hit over the 10,000 mark the other day. Woo! Which is pretty good for us. We hit over the 10,000 mark. And Michael Burrow has been tweeting like crazy. In fact, my favorite tweet.
The tweet of the week.
The tweet of the there we go. New bit this week. Maybe I should try to find it because I could read the whole thing. I mean, I know what it said, but it was absolutely ridiculous.
Well, the best part, like before you read our, so we were watching SportsCenter before we went to podcast, and it was ESPN, a Make-A-Wish, where a kid got to meet John Cena, and John Cena does a lot of the Make-A-Wish stuff. WWE does a good job there. They even brought they gave the kid front row seats. They brought him into the ring, let him celebrate, hold the championship belt.
Uh-huh.
And after the whole story, ESPN is like, go on Twitter and tweet the event. Mm-hmm. Huge hashtag my wish. And I'm like, okay.
Yep. So Michael Burlow taking a sick kid with failed kidneys. And thinking about, hey, maybe I could tweet to get the show's numbers up.
Well, I think he only has one bad one.
I like how you think.
I think he's got like one decent one and one bad one.
He's got a good one. He can listen to the podcast.
Hey, he met John Cena, man. I mean, come on.
But I got a story off of that. But my favorite tweet of the week, Berlo.
Go ahead.
Now, what you need to understand is how, I know we talked about it, but how this relationship works, I send out maybe three tweets a week if I'm trying to find someone or something like that. Berlo takes each episode, dissects it. So if you do follow us on Twitter and you see thousands of tweets, it's usually after each episode to try to get numbers up and to try to maybe get a guest out of it. And it's happened and worked before, so the numbers have been going up a lot. But the last one was after the hot dog one.
Okay.
The hot dog one, which was two episodes ago.
Go on.
Hey, at Deep Fried Diva, hot dogs get # chow chow down with # food challenges. Randy Santel versus comedy guy, # comedy guy, at the Burl 721 on # podcast. Now, my favorite line of that is #
chow chow.
Chow chow down, like the dog chow chow, but we chow chow down on hot dogs, but we chow chow down.
I think also on that one, I did hot and then # dogs as
well.
Oh,
you did. I'm looking at it now.
Well, basically, as I dissect each one and I try to
talk about
out.
Talk about the method to your madness here.
Well,
because you're figuring something out. You're getting something.
Yeah, what I basically do is I listen to the entire episode, and I
lucky
break
you.
Down, yeah, and I break down everything we talked about, and I get as linear as possible. If we bring up a certain brand, if we bring up a certain kind of activity, I mark it down. And I say, all right, I'm going to go tweet out to some people involved with that. Mm-hmm. Now, as I tweet out the stuff, I always look for the trends in Twitter. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that works out well. I mean, whether it's like UFC, if it's the Miss USA pageant, whether it's whatever's going on, I see what is, MTV Awards as well. I've done that.
BET Awards.
And I just go off that and I'll just tweet people to that. But I also look for what hashtags are trending. So I tried figure out some eating ones, and a lot of them are not necessarily trending. Like, I do Randy's food challenges and Man V Food, but when you start typing it in with a hashtag and it disappears, it's kind of telling you, okay, this is not a major hashtag that's going on that people are searching for.
Yes.
So I have to go with what's good. So as I'm typing out one, I go, okay, maybe instead of eating, I say chow down on something. So I'm going to do chow down, and I start typing chow, put the letter D in, and it disappears. So I'm like, all right, chow down's not a really searchable thing.
No.
So I subtract
definitely
D,
not.
And I'm looking down the list, and I'm like, chow chow, okay. I can make a play on words and maybe get some dog people to listen to our hot dog eating contest.
It's brilliant.
Food challenge.
So, like, do you like immerse yourself in a certain mood? So, if you're in a pageant mood, you just go through all different pageant topics. If you're in a, if now, like during BET, this is what I picture you like.
Okay.
Like man, sitting by your computer like this. Pink, caviar, dreams. You know.
Finish. No.
You know. I'll be there in one just minute. Getting ready, tweeting like, hip hop. Thug.
We was homeboys once,
you know,
babe.
And then it's just, I picture you like just tweeting away, like, yeah. Hey, at gangster party, want to listen to white men talk in a office?
Hashtag white.
Yeah, hashtag white. So, yeah, your methods work. They're a little insane, but I like them.
Yeah, I mean,
you're evolving your tweet game too.
That's what happened when we did the 50th episode. I just did exactly what we talked about. Hey, Edderman's, hey, Dollar Tree. But I didn't go linear enough to go down the level. And as part of also what I do, it's like if it's some kind of like awards, it's like, all right, I'm going to take the five people who were nominated and say, hey, sorry you lost. Would love to podcast with you.
Yep.
Hey, great job. You deserve to win that.
Yep.
Love to podcast with you.
It's like I said, I give him free rein, and he's ran with it. He's ran far with it. But it's going well. But before we get into anything else, I'd also, it's getting close. It's about a month away. The third Verbal Shenanigans comedy show. And it's getting close, and the flyers are out and printed up at the restaurant, and now it's kind of time to take some reservations. I know I've been mentioning it for a while, but it's getting close. So if you listen to the show and you like comedy, it's a good way to kind of combine both. It's a Sunday night out. It's great food, and this lineup is packed. This lineup is locked and loaded. Again, Mike Gaffney is the headliner. Mike Gaffney just got done doing, I think it was 8 shows over 4 nights with Sebastian Maniscalco down at the Stress Factory.
Yeah, not bad.
Sebastian Maniscalco, who I keep saying is probably the hottest comic going right now. Apparently, people were scalping tickets online for over $400 at the Stress Factory.
Not shabby.
$400. That's like Dice Clay in his heyday. Prices. So, you know, this is a guy that opens up for him. He's on Last Comic Standing. He does a great podcast with Joe Fernandez called Now What Podcast. So he'll be headlining, which is a treat because he's coming in on a Sunday for not a lot of money, but he's coming and kind of doing a favor for me. And then your feature act, which is totally different, Rich McDonald and Joe Carney, McDonald and Carney. They do improv, so they'll be getting the crowd up, talking, blah, 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 having them play games and stuff like that. So it's a complete different animal there.
And they're doing the Taj Mahal this weekend.
They are doing the Taj Mahal. They headline all over the place together. So it is something different to look forward to. And then Ritu Chandra, if you heard her drunk on our podcast, funny lady, she'll be doing the feature spot. So... definitely, I tried to change the show up for you this time, like I did the last two, trying to bring in a variety of acts, and I think I nailed it on this one again.
Yeah,
I think I nailed it. So I would appreciate it. We would appreciate it if you just come on out, and then we'll be doing a 50-50 for this time. It's going to go to the Dover Firemen,
nice.
Which is good.
I should ask them if they think I'm an asshole.
Well, you are. You are.
Well,
did we ever get into that?
I don't think we talked about it on here.
Oh, good. We'll get into that now.
All right.
But yes, please go on. It's $35 for tickets. $35 for tickets and dinner, though. $35 on a Sunday night. We start early. We don't start at 10 o'clock. We're starting at around 7:30. And
you can make reservations.
Make reservations. Get there. And it only holds about 65 people. We may have opened a little bit of space in there in case we do get more numbers. But a nice intimate room. And if you guys come out, it helps us maybe possibly build a room there. And the first two shows are massive successes. So I'd like to keep it going. And but even if you're a comic and you just want to come on out and support the room, it really helps. Really helps. And
great way to spend a Sunday night.
Yes. Yeah, that's it for that. I wanted to make sure we got that in the middle of the episode instead of the end all the time. But so firemen think you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was
quite a while ago. We don't even need to look at it, but you were talking about...
I talked about the time I left here. It was after the 50th episode, and I got back to my apartment. It was pouring down rain. I saw flashing lights. There was a guy in a fireman in front who said, "You know, we're taking care of something. You can't go past the fire trucks." So I parked in the first parking lot I could find, which was probably still a good half a mile away from my apartment. Mm. Pouring rain. All I have on is my shorts, my sandals, and like a flimsy shirt. So the second I step outside my car.
A flimsy shirt.
Yeah.
It was one of those kind of nights,
mm-hmm.
huh?
I step out. I mean, I'm just soaked. And as I'm like walking up, I'm seeing tons of cars just passing the fire truck, not blinking an eye. I'm just saying to myself, okay, if everybody else is going, I'm going to go.
Yes.
So I get in my car. I go to go past the truck, and as I'm passing along, about 7 firemen are like running up to go to the truck. They kind of stop, and they just gave me one of those "you fucker" kind of looks.
Yes, yes.
And we debated here. You said just bad timing. You're not an asshole.
I thought you were an asshole. I would have done it.
And
but I know I am an asshole.
So I threw it out to Twitter as I always do. I basically tweeted anything that involved fire departments in any way. And one gentleman got back to us, whose name...
Firefighter Geek.
Yes. Firefighter Geek, who...
Now, first, Firefighter Geek, I'm going to tell you. I'm talking to you today. Ooh. You look like... you look like the guy who would play the chief on a fireman show. Like, oh, you look exactly...
Like Rescue Me.
Exactly. Like, he could be the chief. He's got the, like, thick comb over. He's dressed up in a... kind of like a suit kind of thing. He looks very serious. He looks very... Like, I knew right away when he responded, this isn't going to be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, let's bring it down to the bottom here.
Yeah, I think it started off with him saying, well, where is it at? I don't have time for this.
Yes, yes. Firefighter Geek wasn't really into us too much. But he says, at VS Comedy, can you tell me how many minutes in to watch? The podcast is over an hour, and I don't have the hour to put in right now. Yes, because Firefighter Geek is very... You know, he's not busy enough to respond to the... You know, he's not too busy to respond to the tweet, but to listen to the podcast in the background, too busy.
Okay. Verbal shenanigans, we're not worth the hour.
Yep. we're good for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, then he responded to you, nope, a hashtag dick move. Mm-hmm. It's stupid hard to get people to not bypass your traffic control, but it's there for a reason. More. Okay, which meant I guess it's more coming.
To the next, yeah.
Now, Firefighter Geek's kind of a middle-aged man. He's using hashtag dick move. Kind of weird.
I think I sent that.
Yeah. So you started it.
Yeah, okay. I never got it trending. That's why I haven't used it since.
Mm. So then he says, each person that goes past makes it worse. They're doing it to protect you or to protect them, not doing it for the hell of it. So you can tell right away his tone is...
I look down upon you.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're...
Not even like jokingly, hey, don't do that. It's really inconvenient and dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's...
Yes. From his high Firefighter Geek.
I was very disappointed in you, Michael Burlew.
Yes. Then he starts getting more aggressive here. Mm-hmm. He says, at VS Comedy... Number two, because of firefighter fatalities after heart attack, is a traffic accident. You made their job harder that night,
mm-hmm.
Burlew.
I know.
You made their job harder.
I'm feeling bad right now.
At VS Comedy, I've had people drive around cones and under live power lines or go off the street onto people's yards to go around down lines.
Yeah, that's hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do that.
No. No, but if I saw this guy, I might. at VS Comedy, do something stupid like that. Get in trouble. You make us risk our lives even more because now you're part of the emergency.
Mm. I kind of like that as my nickname. Michael Burlew, part of the emergency.
Or the emergency. And then at VS Comedy, so yeah, hashtag dick move. Nothing I can usually do about, but get a cop to go F with you. And they will. But only if it's bad.
Dun, dun, dun.
So Michael Burlew, not liked by the firefighters.
Yeah, I mean, I always come on here
maybe
saying,
us donating to the Dover firemen will really enhance your image.
Because, you know, I come
you got
to
tweet him back. Hey, just donated blah, blah, blah to the Dover firefighters.
Well, first I'm going to say, hey, we mentioned you on our latest podcast.
Yes. Hashtag.
Minute 49.
Hashtag dick move. Hashtag dickhead.
Oh, that's mine.
What is that sound? That's your text sound?
For certain people.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, not liked by the firefighters. But then you were also not liked by the graffiti community.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that one. Yeah, so, I forget even the site. So another part of what I do for advertising for the show is I will join groups that are of interest of our certain guests.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined, I think it was called San Francisco Graffiti.
Yep.
So they accepted my request.
You got into the club.
Yeah.
All right.
And basically the second they say I can come in, that's the first thing I do is I put in our Facebook thing with our hashtags and so forth. And it's a conversation about graffiti. It's not like I sent them the Randy Santel hot dog challenge.
Which you should do next.
Yeah, if I could. I think he'd, but basically, about 2 hours later, there was a response back. He's like, get this off our page or I'm going to get you off.
Yep, yep.
Or something to that extent.
So far, Michael Burrow.
So I left it up there, and I'm no longer part of the graffiti group.
Oh, they kicked you off?
I can't find it in my group, so.
Oh, man. So the firefighters and the San Francisco graffiti community, not fans of Michael Burlow.
I come on here all the time and say, I know you love me, people, but now I got a question.
You're not feeling much love. But
I'm so lovable. I don't understand.
So I had, in other things, I had two, you know, I like to tell stories on here. I had two things I was thinking about.
I had one thing to talk about as well.
I had two things. The other day we were following the mascot. When we were at Pocono, we were following a mascot around, the fox.
Tricky the fox.
Who we were laughing about because she had these, well, it had these big, gigantic, clunky shoes. And, like, it was hot that day and hot in the theme park and everything. And all you heard was thump, 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 thump. But anyway, it had me thinking, one time my dad had his own, electronic repair shop / like car stereo installation place for 25 years in Bayonne, and he had a anniversary or grand reopening, like it was almost like a street fair in front of his place. He had like a band, he had like a couple vendors come out and some nice cars around, and he wanted to have like a mascot, like a someone walking around, like a Mickey Mouse was the costume we had.
Oh, okay.
Now, I guess he got the costume from somewhere, so someone had to be Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
This guy gets chosen to be Mickey Mouse. Now, I'm all excited about it. Now, I'm like 12 years old, 13 years old.
Okay.
But I'm tall, you know, like.
Yeah.
And now, I said I would do it, but I don't think I really wanted to do it. So I go in the back office, and I'm putting on the Mickey Mouse outfit. I'm sliding my legs in. And I'm putting it on.
Little red shorts.
Little red shorts, little yellow feet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I start getting, like, nervous, and I start crying. Crying, like, bawling, crying, like. That's exactly what it was like. And my parents had to come in. They came in, they're like, what's the matter? I'm like, I don't want to be Mickey. And, like, they're like, it's okay. You don't have to be Mickey. And, like.
No, man, I promise. The kids are away from Mickey.
So, if I could have that image of me with, like, red face, tears in my eyes, in, like, a half a Mickey outfit, it just sums up everything. What a douchey little kid.
It would have been great if you walked out with half the Mickey outfit crying, and then, like, your friends are out there. Yo, Scott, what's up?
Yeah. Like, why? I would love to do that now. Like, go, like, play with everybody and, like, have fun. But there I am, some stupid boy that my dad trusted to go be Mickey, crying in his back office in a Mickey Mouse costume.
I love you, Mickey. Don't want to be.
That one could have went on Humiliation Battleship, which, by the way, is our highest listened to episode, which I don't know if I'm happy about, because that means 2,000-something people know I shit to bed.
Almost 2,100 people have listened to it. And every time we get a new episode and we tweet them to listen to that, that number keeps going up. So people are, ooh, what's this?
Yep. Even my brother texted me the other day, I just listened to Humiliation Battleship. Hilarious. And I'm like, yeah, that was a good one. He's like, the shit to bed story is ridiculous. I'm like, yeah. Thank you. But another thing that's kind of embarrassing, when we were watching that ESPN thing downstairs where you were thinking about increasing our numbers with the cancer kid.
You make it sound so wrong the way you say it.
We were... me and my buddy Alex, he seems to pop up a lot on this podcast because this is where I spent a lot of my childhood with. And he's been on the podcast before many, many moons ago. And I still have a drunk cast that me and him did on here somewhere. So it's going to be in the random release podcast I do one day of things that never made the cut. Mm-hmm. But we were in like, where am I getting the static from?
Getting some static. I think it's one of the wires. I think we just.
Might be one of
them. Yeah, there you
go. Okay. We were like in middle school.
All
right. Maybe, I hate to say this, possibly freshman in high school. And we had really liked wrestling. Now, I had already told you long ago we had a backyard wrestling federation, which was just completely pathetic. But I would say more towards 8th and 7th grade, we used to sprint to like the Kmart or the, at the time, Bradley's and go get wrestling figures.
Oh, that's a place to hang out when you're in middle school, man. Some of my best experiences were at Bradley's.
Well, some people are like trying to get their first kiss, trying to talk to girls maybe. Nope. Me and my buddy are at the store looking for the new Psycho Sid action figure.
Ooh. Now, if you're really crazy, you go to Woolworths.
So now, we would have our own federation. Like, we would plan matches to play with these figures together.
Okay.
We had a stereo. We had, my buddy took like cardboard and painted it and made it look like a set for like a pay-per-view. And we would have entrances for these guys. And we would freak out over, like, if I bought a new figure and didn't tell him, I would, like, hide it from him. And then, like, he would make his debut on that pay-per-view. Like, oh, my God, it's blah, blah, blah. My buddy.
Oh, shit, beat Brian Blair.
My buddy even went as far as, like, he took one of his old, like, Billy Gunn action figures and, like, painted his face and called him the Great Malenko. Now, at the time, the Great Malenko was an Insane Clown Posse album he loved. And he made him into an ICP character. And we would wrestle and fight and write, like, who would win next as if anybody was watching. And just have match after match. Like
you were Vince McMahon Jr.
We were. This is also on top of that we would do a radio show on tape. Mm-hmm. Which, God, if you are out there, which I'd never talk to you. Please.
Sup, God?
Please find me those tapes so we can play them on the podcast. Please. And this was in the height of Opie and Anthony on NEW, which we were listening to. And we like, we could do our own. We had like, we would play songs like, oh, and here's Sour Girl by Stone Temple Pilots. And we'd put it on and play it. And so bad, man. Me and him did a lot of embarrassing things together. And, I don't know. I saw that on TV. I'm like, that's a good one to tell. That and me crying in the Mickey episode. So if people just keep them coming, and I'll keep telling you my embarrassing childhood,
which is
usually just me being
you
a dork.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got?
Unlike me, who was way cool.
Yeah. I mean, you were macking on. Did I ever tell you my first kiss was on rollerblades?
Really?
We I had my first girlfriend in the summer of eighth grade going into. No, the summer of seventh grade going into eighth grade. Pretty girl. Her name was Monica.
Ooh.
Polish girl. And like, at this time, like, rollerblading was really in. I used to rollerblade all around town. And I met up with Monica with my friend, and she had her friend with her. And back then, it was like, they would like, people would like try to force you to like kiss somebody, you know? Like, it was like, and I was always like awkward with it. I remember like parties and like, you know, have parties or whatever, and like people would be playing spin the bottle. I'd be like, oh, I'll sit on the side. And that, like, what was the one where people went in the closet?
Yeah, the
seven minutes in heaven. Yeah, or something like that. And I would never do that. But anyway, we're like by like these tennis courts, and I'm scooting by on my rollerblades. Whoosh, whoosh.
Did you have like headphones on?
I may have my Walkman blasting. Let's see, eighth grade, that'd probably be blasting like a 311 tape or something like that. And so they like force us to
look at your posters.
I'm on AOL, waiting for the picture to download. And they like force us into this like tennis court area. And they're like, okay, we'll leave you alone now. And leaving alone meant like they left like.
Were you supposed to play tennis or something?
Yeah,
I never played before.
They went like maybe 100 feet away and like, you know, they're watching and they're like, I plant this awful first kiss on rollerblades to this girl.
Hmm.
So that was my first kiss.
That sounds romantic.
It's very romantic. But, yep. So that's three stories for me.
Oh, that's cool. I was going to tell a story, but never mind. let me ask you a question. When you see an insect in your house,
yes,
do you leave it alone? Do you kill it? Do you pick it up and try to bring it outside to let it live?
Okay. Now, I get cave crickets up here, which are disgusting. They're disgusting. They look like something out of, like, the dinosaur age. They are big. They don't do anything per se. They just jump around. But
so annoying.
They're disgusting. Mm-hmm. They're disgusting. One landed on my neck the other day, and I freaked out. So I swat the hell out of them. Ants, I usually step on. Like if it's like a fly or something that's flying around, I'll try to shoo them out the door. Mm-hmm. But I guess I got to say most times I kill them.
Yeah. So I'm kind of the same way. It depends on the insect in question. I'm in my bathroom. I'm going to the bathroom, and I notice there's a spider in my bathtub.
Ooh.
So, I mean, I'm kind of debating. It's like a little ugly spider. I'm like, I don't know. Do I let it live? Will it find its way back in or whatever? So I pick up a little toilet paper as I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. And I tried to grab it and moved away a little bit. I grabbed it. It got out of the tissue. When it got out of the tissue, probably 60 baby spiders shot out of it.
No.
Hand to God. And I just freaked out.
When was this?
This was probably Thursday or Friday.
Oh, my God. What do you mean? They just came shooting out?
Yeah. Like
I thought they come out of, like, eggs.
I guess it depends on breed.
Dude, this was like a movie spider.
It was. That's exactly what happened. Fuck! And I just turned on the shower, and I just drowned that entire family. It just freaked me the hell out. I'm like, no.
Oh, it was so like where the baby spiders really tiny.
Yeah, like little.
Oh,
like barely like a dot, but you could see they're like moving away. So you know they're actually babies, and it was such a freaky scene. Like I'm trying to be nice, and in the end, I'm just like, fuck it, kill them all, kill their family.
Oh, that. So you're buck naked?
No. I got my pants down.
Oh, you were going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, you weren't in the shower.
No.
So now your pants are down, and you kill this bug. So now, do you pull your pants up to kill the family of spiders, or are you stumbling around?
Yeah, as the shorts are still down by my my feet, I just dive for the water and turn on. I think it was the cold I put on, so I didn't burn them to death. I just drowned them.
Dude, that's...
Yeah, that was a freaky ass.
That's nasty. I'm not going to lie. That would throw me for a loop for sure.
And then the rest of the day, anytime I saw anything, I just killed it on the spot. You might know him as a friend. Screw it.
That's nasty. So they were like, they just spread out all over the place?
Yeah, it's like when I picked it up the second time, that's when they just all started squirting out.
Oh, that gives me the chills a little bit right now.
Out scene.
Yeah, bugs don't normally bother me too much, but these cave crickets bother me. Spiders, I'm okay with, but if a spider's shooting out 60 babies, I don't know.
It's my house.
You're going, man. I'm killing all of you, and I'm finding where you live. Ugh. I always wonder, like, these crickets I get, like, how do they get in? Like, I don't even see how they get in.
I can't even figure out how any of these bugs get in my place. I mean, all the screens are fine. They just show up, and I got to take care of business. And like I said, sometimes I'm nice. Like, if it's, like, a little ladybug, I'll get in some toilet paper or go outside and, like, there you go. Live, little girl.
You're free. You're free. Mm-hmm. So, like, spiders have 6 legs, right?
8.
Spiders are 8? Or insects 8?
I thought spiders were 8.
Yeah, maybe they are 8. So like 8 times. So 480 legs roaming around your bathtub.
Yeah.
That's gross. That's really gross.
I took care of it. It's fine. You can all join me in the shower now.
But anyway, I think we're at the end here. You got anything else, brother?
No, I was going to bring up after we did... We did the one podcast. We were in by your fire pit, and then I came inside for a beer, and I felt something on my neck,
yes.
And I said, oh, that's probably like an ash or something from the fire, and I shoo it off, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh, it's a little lightning bug or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a step forward, and I say to myself, lightning bugs don't have those long... They usually have glowing butts. They don't have very long stem butts. And I realized there was a hornet on my neck.
Yes. There was.
That freaked me out. No, any kind of stinging or kind of insect just really freaks me out.
So bees. You are freaked out by insects pretty bad.
Not insects in general, but stinging ones. I mean, for the most part, if it was just like I said, that spider might have taken it outside after I was done and let it be, but...
Walked it around the complex a little bit on a piece of string.
How you doing, mama?
Yep.
You doing okay?
Who's my good little egg friend? But,
Let me tell you about my best friend.
But anyway, I think that brings us to the end. Today you've heard, you heard a little bit of everything. You heard a little bit about me crying in a Mickey Mouse outfit. You heard about me playing with wrestling figures, way too old, Berlou and his family of spiders. Berlou, anything to promote? Any friends of the cast?
We're going to be scheduling out our day down at the Princess Royale with Johnny Watson. I know our buddy Doug Max is down there right now. And I'm trying to get my date for the station in Cranberry with Mike Bonner. But I don't have any official dates. I'll let you people know either on my Facebook site, The Burls, or through here.
All right. And I don't know if this will be up by then, but this weekend I'll be at Bustica Comedy Club down in Ocean and Tierney's Tavern on Sunday night in Montclair. So that'll be a good time. And again, the show, August 30th, if you could please come on out and keep following us on Twitter and all that fun stuff, and get our likes up and leave us a review and email us or something.
Or Podcast Land.
Yeah, or Podcast Land. Yeah, we came short. We fell short on that one. About two votes, something like that. But anyway, life is funny. Keep doing that. See, I messed that up two podcasts in a row.
Well, no, the last one you gave me the ending.
Oh, let me try again. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
I like firemen. God, it's okay. It's okay, man. Listen, you don't have to put on the outfit if you don't want to.
You don't have to touch me while I'm doing that.
Yes, I do. Get over here. Sit on my lap.